Unit 4. Vocabulary. Exercise 7. Speaker 1.
I like working with Joe, but not everybody does. The thing is, he likes being in control. He tells everybody what they need to do. Some people get annoyed, but I think he's efficient because everybody knows where they are. He's definitely the boss, but I think that's okay because when you work in a group, somebody needs to be the boss. The other good thing about Joe is that he believes in himself. He knows he can do the job and he knows that he can do it well. You know, you don't want the leader of the group to be insecure and worried all the time, do you?
Speaker 2.
You know, I was really angry with Lily last week. When she saw me, do you know what the first thing was that she said to me? She said, "Oh, you look terrible. Where did you get those jeans? They don't look good on you." I couldn't believe it. I mean, I know that she thinks she's just perfect and that her clothes are the best and she's the only person whose opinions are important, but she needs to be a bit more modest because one day she's going to end up with no friends.
Speaker 3.
You know, sometimes Matthew really gets on my nerves. Once he makes a decision, it's impossible to get him to change his mind. Last week, he had an argument with Oliver, and now he won't speak to him. He says nothing can make him change his mind. The thing is that they argued about a maths exercise. You know that Oliver is a really gifted mathematician. He explained the exercise 5 times to Matthew, and Matthew just couldn't understand. The thing is, the exercise wasn't difficult, but, well, you know, Matthew is bottom of the class in maths. He finds it really difficult.
Unit 4. Gateway to Life Skills. Exercises 7 and 8. Unit 4. Listening. Exercises 2 and 3.
And now it's time to look at the world of TV. Sue Wilson is here to tell us about her programme of the week. Hi, Sue. What do you have for us this week?
Well, it hasn't exactly been a brilliant week for TV, to be honest. There was just one program that stood out for me. The program was the first in a new series on Channel 4 called Hidden Talent.
Hidden Talent? Is that another one of those talent programs with pop singers and bands?
No, but that's what I thought too at first. It's much more original than that. The basic idea of the program is that many people have a special talent, but they don't know what it is. So they invited 900 normal people to do 9 different tests, and then they looked at who did the tests well. The program then shows how they train those people to develop their talents.
What sort of talents are we talking about?
Well, in the first program on Wednesday night, the 2 talents were rock climbing and lie detecting.
And did they find anybody with those talents?
They certainly did. For rock climbing, they discovered a nurse in her 40s called Maggie Renan, who had never climbed before in her life. They gave her a really difficult task.
What was it?
It was to climb a 60-meter rock surrounded by water off the coast of Scotland. It's hard enough to climb it in good weather conditions, but this place is known for being extremely windy and rainy, and it can be quite a scary experience. In fact, it's such a difficult climb that you usually need many years of experience to try it. But Maggie had just 18 days of training. She was so calm about it, too. When she was climbing, her heartbeat was slower than the person who was monitoring her heartbeat. Maybe her work experience helped her, because when nurses treat patients in emergencies, they need to stay calm.
Amazing. And did she do it in the end?
Yes, she did it so well. She was brilliant.
And what about lie detecting?
That was interesting, too. They say that only 1 in 400 people is good at identifying liars. But in the first test, a 63-year-old woman called Brenda Chamberlain identified 16 out of 20 lies. She was much better than the rest.
So how did they train her?
She did a course with some experts from the FBI. They taught her to watch body language carefully, for example, and to notice the typical things we say when we're nervous.
What was her final task?
One person out of a group of five took some money, and she had to identify who it was by asking them questions.
And was she good enough to do it?
Yes, she was.
So these really are just normal people with hidden talents?
Yes. The program really made me think. It's such a pity that we can spend our lives without realizing we have a special talent. Maybe you could be the best diver in the world, for example, and never know it. Take Maggie Renan, the rock climber. As a grandmother, she'd always been too busy with her family to be able to do something like this. So it was inspiring to watch her perform something amazing that she never knew she could do.
Thanks, Sue. I'll be sure to watch out for hidden talent next week.
Unit 4. Developing Speaking. Exercises 4 and 5.
I'd like to begin by saying that I disagree with the statement that there are no heroes in today's world, and I'm going to give you some reasons why I disagree. First of all, I believe that it is true that nowadays people use the word hero too often. Some newspapers talk about the hero in a football match just because they scored a goal. Or maybe a teenager says that a new pop star or actor is their hero because they really like their songs or films. But I think a hero is much more than just an entertainer or a sports person. In my opinion, a real hero is somebody who makes a sacrifice to help others. Somebody who makes a big difference to other people's lives in difficult situations. So, for example, I believe that doctors or firefighters are heroes when they put themselves at risk to try to save somebody's life. Doctors or firefighters don't do this to become famous or rich. They do it because they believe that we should help others. What's more, people like this are true heroes because they may save lives not just once or twice, but perhaps many times. It's also true that there are some celebrities who can be called heroes because they inspire people and help make the world a better place. One person who I think is a real hero is the actress Emma Watson. She is young and famous, but she has always worked closely with different charities, particularly to help children and young people. Furthermore, she has worked as a goodwill ambassador for the United Nations for a number of years, and has made very inspiring speeches asking boys and men to do more to achieve equal rights for women around the world. To sum up, I think that we should be careful when we use the word hero. A hero is not just somebody who does something funny, entertaining, or exciting. I believe that a hero is somebody who does something extraordinary to save lives or to help and inspire others. In short, in the past, there have always been people prepared to do heroic things in difficult situations, and I believe that today is no different.
Unit 4. Gateway to Life Skills. Learning to Learn. The Theory of Multiple Intelligences. When we talk about intelligence, some people have the idea that intelligence is what we need to answer general knowledge questions, such as, what is the capital of Venezuela? Or, how many legs does a spider have? And when somebody knows the answers to all those questions, we say they're really clever or that they know a lot. The idea is that you're clever if you know a lot of facts and data. However, most experts would say that this is only one part or type of intelligence. There are other ways that we can think of intelligence. For example, the creativity that you need in order to find answers to questions that you've never seen before, or to grasp new concepts. This brings us to the American psychologist Howard Gardner. Gardner says that there isn't just one type of intelligence. There are what he calls multiple intelligences. He talks about seven different types of intelligence, shown in the table opposite. Of course, each of us may be naturally strong in more than just one of these intelligence types. When you look at the table, you can see that Gardner's multiple intelligences cover everything we do in our lives and is a much more complete and realistic way of thinking about intelligence. For example, we all know people who aren't so good linguistically, but who are very strong in logic or mathematics. We would probably all agree that this doesn't mean one person is more intelligent than another. They're both intelligent, but in different ways, with different strengths. One important reason for it not being very easy to measure intelligence is because it all depends on what type of intelligence we're talking about. The good news is that most of Gardner's intelligences can be developed. With practice, you can learn to see things in a more scientific or logical way, or you can learn to appreciate literature or music. It is possible for children to become great musicians if they start early, and there are many bilingual or multilingual children in the world. The interesting thing here is that your life opportunities can make a big difference to your intelligence. If a child lives in an environment where they speak two languages, they'll learn to understand and speak them. If somebody has access to a musical instrument and has lessons, we naturally expect them to learn more than somebody who doesn't. So intelligence is not just a question of being born intelligent. The environment you live in can make a huge difference. Gardner's multiple intelligences. 1. Linguistic. Includes reading, writing, talking, listening, poetry. 2. Logical and mathematical. Includes ability with numbers, legal thinking. 3. Spatial. Includes driving, navigating a boat or plane. 4. Musical. Includes playing an instrument, composing music. 5. Bodily kinesthetic. Includes sports, drama, making things. 6. Interpersonal. Includes understanding other people, communicating with them, helping them. 7. Intrapersonal. Includes understanding yourself, reflection. Unit 4. Reading. The Incredible Rise of Dynamo.
He's the British illusionist who walks on water and has hundreds of celebrity fans and friends. But he started doing tricks to stop his bullies at school. Stephen Dynamo Frayn is no ordinary illusionist. During our interview, a pack of cards appears to levitate from the table and land in his hand before disappearing. He continues talking, stops for a second, then takes the cards from his mouth. As he explains to me, it's his job and his life's mission to amaze people. He believes that as we get older, we all want to feel young again, and that tricks and illusions can give us that feeling. Dynamo shows certainly do that. Stephen grew up in one of the most dangerous areas in Bradford. Since his childhood, he has had a serious stomach illness. That meant that as a child, he wasn't as strong as his classmates. Weak and shy, he was a target for bullies. When he was 11, his mum used to send him to school with two older kids, but they didn't look after him. One day he told his great-grandfather about it, who taught him a few tricks. From then on, Dynamo's life changed. He demonstrates to me one of the tricks he learnt to stop the bullying. He asks me to pick him up, which I do easily. Then he looks at me for less than a second and tells me to do it again. Impossible. I try harder but can no longer lift him. Once he started doing tricks like this on the bullies, they left him alone. But their fear of him meant that nobody wanted to be near him. So he spent his time in his bedroom practicing. The longer you practice, the better you get. Thanks to that dedication and hard work, Dynamo is one of the most famous illusionists in the world today, but he's possibly the most modest, down-to-earth person you'll ever meet. He remembers how his career really started. When he had to spend 6 months in hospital because of his stomach illness, it was one of the worst times in his life. He started wondering how people would remember him if he died. This motivated him to make something of his life. He started doing tricks in the street. He talked his way backstage at concerts and did tricks for famous artists such as Snoop Dogg, One Direction, and Coldplay. Soon he had a massive following on social media networks, with tens of millions of people worldwide watching his videos. Then came his own TV series, which he has since sold to more than 190 countries, attracting 250 million viewers. His ability to get attention was evident in 2011, when he amazed people by walking on the River Thames in London. At first, there were just 50 people watching, but soon there were thousands. He had walked halfway across the river when the police stopped him. So, how did he do it? Was there transparent plastic under the surface of the water? Even when you look more closely at the images, it's impossible to know.
I can honestly say that if I started explaining it all,
Dynamo says,
you'd be so bored you'd be begging me to stop after a minute.
After all, as he says, intrigue is the most powerful part of it. Dynamo's illness has never gone away, but he finds that when he's working, his stomach hurts him the least.
The best distraction is an audience. My stomach hurts the least when I'm performing. Adrenaline stops me feeling any pain.
There can't be many people in the world who are so calm and easygoing about walking through windows or levitating above the tallest building in London. But Dynamo is no ordinary person.